I guess before I start tonight, I would like to say thank you. The special reminded me of something that we need to thank the church for. Last year, when we found out we were pregnant with Bella, we had about 3 months that everything seemed to be going great. And then all of a sudden, I think it was about the 3 month period, we found out that she was not developing anymore. And what was interesting is that same day that we found out things weren't going very well, of course, I told family, and I guess some of my family told the church, Madison. And it's funny how you get mad at something that you should be thankful for. I don't know if y'all have ever done that. But so there was a prayer request sent out on the prayer chain here at Madison saying that Kate had she needed urgent prayer because she had a complicated pregnancy, something along those lines. Well, at that moment, to me, that was a lie. We didn't know that that was it. And so I immediately said, who in the world shared this prayer request? This is not what's happening. It was what was happening. And the song reminded me. Amen. That we do serve a God that works miracles, even if my attitude wasn't right. So thank you for praying for your missionaries. Before I start tonight, can I be honest? Your prayer means more to us than all of the money which y'all give to us. For it's 1,000 times more useful. We do need finances, but more than anything, we covet the prayers. Anyway, thank you very much. Sorry about that. I promised myself I was not going to cry tonight, but I guess I already messed that up. Anyway, it is a blessing to be back, and I appreciate the opportunity to preach. When Pastor approached me last Sunday and said, will you be here next week? I thought of saying we wouldn't, but and then he said, well, I would like for you to preach next Sunday night. And so immediately I was excited. And then the horrors that, the fight or flight reaction. And then anyway, I figured I'd just ask Kate to write a good message so I could preach tonight. But obviously I did not do that. So tonight I would like to preach something that God has been working with me on. Hopefully it's a thought that will help all of us grow a little more tonight, get a little closer to the Lord, and hopefully leave here tonight changed. There's no good for you to come to a service and leave as you came. Amen. There's no reason to, except maybe we didn't listen well enough. To be quite honest, sitting here listening and thinking about each song we sang tonight, that is a message in and of itself so far. If you haven't been blessed just by the singing, then maybe you need to listen come Wednesday night. Amen. Or Wednesday morning service, because it is a blessing. Amen. And God uses all that to prepare our hearts. Please open your Bibles with me to 1 Kings or 2 Kings chapter 20. 2 Kings chapter 20. Interesting. In the past, I've never had this problem before, but in the past, I've heard missionaries come back and they've said, well, you know, bear with me tonight because I haven't preached in English in 4 years or 6 years or however long. And I kept thinking to myself, well, just speak English. Well, tonight I'm saying the same thing. Bear with me. Because I haven't preached in English in 4 years, and it might not seem like a big deal, but to me it is because my thought process seems to be in Portuguese, so bear with me. I hopefully won't speak Portuguese, but my English might sound weird sometimes. So 2 Kings chapter 20, I would like to read, this is obviously a very familiar story to all of us, but I would like to read verses 1 through 5 to start out tonight. So 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 1, the Bible says, in those days, Hezekiah sickened to death, and the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos, came to him and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Then he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord, saying, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. And it came to pass, afore Isaiah was gone out into the middle court, that the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, Thus saith the Lord, the God of David, thy father, I have heard thy prayer. I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will heal thee. On the third day thou shalt go up unto the house of the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you so much, Father, for being able to be here in your house. Father, I am grateful for everyone that gave up their time to be here. I pray, Father, that you would speak to us tonight. Lord, that there would not be an idle word said, that you would guide my mouth, guide my thoughts, Father, that we could hear from you tonight, that we could not only hear, but put it in practice in our lives. We could leave here tonight as we exit the doors, not forget what was said, and that we might be changed so that we might better serve thee, Father. We might be better witnesses for thee, and that through us, you could effect a change in the world we live in, Father. We thank you so much for all that you've done, and we pray that you bless this message. In Jesus' name, amen. So as I said, this is not a unknown story of the Bible. Obviously, we all have heard it many times. But as I was reading recently, thinking about this, here's something that happens that probably won't happen to any of us. But Hezekiah, I hope we all realize this, but we all have a due date, the end of our time. We all have an end. And most of us have no idea when that end is. We always hope we have a lot more time. Or maybe we don't, but we always think we will have more time. And Hezekiah, he is king over Judah, one of the best kings over Judah. And his time's almost up. So God sends Isaiah to tell him, get your house in order, because you will surely die and not live. So what happened to him is something that probably won't happen to us. But the truth is, we all have the day we're going to die. And I don't mean this to be a sad message at all. Actually, on the opposite, I hope it's something that gets us excited about that last day and that we prepare for that day. But the thought tonight is this. What if today were your last day? If today were your last day, what if? Hezekiah, he had Isaiah come tell him, you will die. And we see here immediately, instead of crying and bawling about it, which he did cry, but he turned immediately to the Lord and he said, Lord, remember how I served thee with a perfect heart. Interesting, God does not refute that. He did serve the Lord. And he did serve the Lord with a perfect heart. And God gave him 15 more years to live. But tonight I stand before you and I say, I'm 33. I would like to have at least 30 more years to serve the Lord. Or more. But I don't know. It could be that, you know, tonight's my last night or tomorrow's my last day. I don't know. The fact is, I would like to serve the Lord with however much time I have left. We all think, I know when I was a teenager, I always thought I'd, you know, live forever. Hardly ever, you know, got old. My birthdays took so long to come. Nowadays, it's about every month, apparently. But the fact is, we have no idea how long we will be here. In the year that I pastored in Carmel for Charlie, we saw all kinds of ages pass on into eternity. The city there, unfortunately, is a city that has a high suicide rate. And that's because of sin and drugs and all kinds of other stuff. Because of the devil, a lot of things. So there was a man committed suicide. He was 55 years old. And that was the end of his life. And not too long, well, actually, it was before that, I got a call from one of the members of the church. And he said, Pastor, could you come down to the funeral home? Because one of the teenage girls that I know passed away. And there's no pastor there to be part of the funeral. I had no idea who this girl was. I had no idea who the family was. But I said, sure, I'll go on down. So I went down to the funeral home. And if you've been in any Latin cultures, there's a lot of screaming and crying at funerals, and it's a mess. So I walk into this little room where the body is laid. And it's packed full of people. And nobody knows me, but eventually the word gets around that it's Pastor. Pastor Nate's here, Pastor Nathan. And so they gave me a little brief opportunity to say something. I don't remember exactly what I said, but I do remember that I tried to present the gospel because I figured just about everybody there was completely lost and on their way to hell. And I ended up figuring out some things about the girl. She was 13 years old. She had lived a life of debauchery already at 13. She was a drug dealer in town, and she got killed by another drug dealer. She got drowned at a waterfall. At 13 years old. So as I'm there talking, there's a lady and a man standing beside the casket. And they're weeping. And I said, so I tried to say some comforting words to mom and dad. And every time I would say mom and dad, they'd cry more. At the end, I figured it out because they weren't mom and dad. That was aunt and uncle. Mom and dad didn't even want to show up for her funeral. They didn't care. They weren't even there. That was really hard to do. Because the truth is, I had been there a year. It's only a city of 20,000 people, and I had never witnessed that little girl. Did I know her? No, but you have to wonder if we didn't cross paths at some time. She's 13 years old, and her time on earth was done. The truth is, when it is our last day, the Bible tells us there are two places we can go. And I know Madison Baptist Church, we all know that. But I'd like to say it again, because it is the most important decision we will ever make in our lives, is where we will go after we die. I know there are a lot of ideas in the world today about the ever after or whatever's to come. But the truth is, the Bible is the only true source of knowledge of truth, and it does not change. The Bible tells us there is two places you can go after your death. And that is heaven and that is hell, which are complete opposites. Amen. Heaven, let's talk about heaven real quick first. Heaven is the place, obviously, that anybody that knows anything about it wants to go there. Amen. The Bible tells us a lot, and it doesn't tell us that much at the same time about heaven. I do believe it is because we would never understand the beauty of heaven, how magnificent it is, how glorious. So God keeps it short. But he does tell us a few things. I think the best thing of all is that God will be there. Amen. God will be in heaven. He will be our light. And we will be with God for an eternity. You say, won't that be boring? Not at all. Do I know what all we'll be doing there? No. But I figure at least a few thousand years, we'll probably just be trying to talk to God. I don't know. It will be amazing. Amen. The Bible tells us that not only will God be there, but we'll have our own mansion in heaven. Amen. God's already prepared it for us. The roads in heaven are of gold. And there's a crystal river. There's the tree of life that gives 12 different fruits at the same time. How's that possible? God. Heaven is a glorious place where the angels will be. Probably the best harmony and singing you'll ever hear. Probably nothing. It will be. Amen. Heaven is a glorious place. A place where we won't have any more sadness or tears or pain. It is the place that everyone should want to go. On the other hand, if you will turn with me, go to Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16, we have heaven, the place that I would say would be a happiness after dying, amen, to go to. This would be the awful place called hell to go to after you're dead. Luke chapter 16, verse 19. And I'm going to read until verse 24 real quick. And if you'll read along with me, that would be awesome. Luke 16, verse 19, the Bible says, "There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores." You can't have two more different people, right? The rich man, he had everything he wanted. Except one thing, which we'll find out in a second. And then you had the beggar, a man called Lazarus, which had nothing. He literally had nothing. He wanted the scraps that fell off the rich man's table. Now, but the same thing happened to both of them. They both passed away. Look at verse 24 or 22. "And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels unto Abram's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried." It would be great if it ended right there, but it does not. Look at verse 23. "And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abram, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." Here we have two men that passed away. Lazarus had put his faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Amen. And when he closed his eyes, he opened his eyes in Abraham's bosom, or today, heaven. Amen. He had nothing here on earth, but he had everything. He had God. Amen. He had salvation. The rich man had everything here on earth, and when he died, he found out he had nothing. We don't know a lot about the rich man, but I would guess he was probably religious. He probably had anything he wanted. He had probably had lavish parties. In our eyes, worldly eyes, we would say he had everything, and he had everything to live for. But you can't live forever, and one day there will be a reckoning between us and God. Heaven is a real place. I know a lot of people will say, after I read this story, they'll say, Well, that's a parable. It's not a parable. You know why? Because Jesus never put somebody's name in a parable. This God uses a literal name, Lazarus, the man. And I believe this man is in heaven today. Amen. And we will see him one day. This story is not a lie. And if you read in Revelation and you find out more, this it depicts hell to a T. That is a place of torment, of fire. I read verse, I believe it's 24, when he asked for a drop of water. I know Pastor said this 1,000 times, and it is true. I have never been in this much torment or this thirsty that one single drop of water off of somebody's fingers would suffice. I always want a cup or a liter or two, right? I've never gotten to this point. This man is in agony to the point which we cannot understand. And the thing that it's hard for me to understand is that this agony is not going to last 1 hour, 1 day, 1 month. This agony lasts the eternity for this man. And the only reason that this agony lasts this long for him is because he rejected Jesus Christ as his Savior. This started back in the Garden of Eden, real fast. God made the world perfect. Amen. It was perfect. And he put the first man there called Adam and then Eve in the garden. Amen. And they didn't have a lot to do. They did have some things to do. God didn't tell them to stay still and not do anything. But they didn't have a lot to do. They had, I would say, the perfect life. But God said, listen, there's one thing you cannot do, and that is eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Pretty simple, right? But unfortunately, just like my kids and just like I was when I was a kid and maybe even now as an adult, when we're told no about something, it seems that a lot of times that's exactly what we have to do. And that's what happened. Eve listened to Satan. She was then deceived. She ate of the fruit that God told her not to. And God had said, when you eat of this fruit, you will die. And Adam, he ate the fruit as well. And they both fell over dead that day. No, they didn't. But they did die spiritually. So that communion, that fellowship between God and man was broken. And that's when sin entered into the world. We are long lost relatives of Adam and Eve. And that sin problem still exists today. And exists in every person that is born. You might not believe this, but my little daughter that is our daughter that is a miracle, she's also a sinner, just like everybody else. And she shows it every once in a while. I have to say, I have two boys and now a daughter. The boys were a lot more of a handful by now, at 9 months now, than she is. She's a lot easier, and I hope it continues that way. I mean, I'm learning as we go. But every once in a while, she will show that she is a sinner by things that she does. And we don't have to teach her. You know, we didn't have to teach her to throw a fit. She does it very well by herself. But she's just showing that sin nature. The truth is, we all have it. And it's something that will keep all of us from going to the place called heaven. Amen. And that's the whole reason we're going to Brazil. Because people don't have to die and go to hell. People here in the United States do not have to die and go to hell. Everybody has the free gift of salvation with their name written on it waiting for them. They only have to accept it. Amen. We only have to tell them about it, and the Holy Spirit will do the rest. So Lazarus, obviously, he had accepted Christ as his Savior. The rich man had not. And they both died, and they both went separate places. Tonight, if you do not know for sure that you are saved, please don't leave here tonight not knowing that. Get saved tonight. We have no promise of tomorrow. Nobody knows that they'll be alive tomorrow. But I know this for a fact. If you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you die tonight, you'll be in heaven for eternity. But I also know for a fact that if you reject Christ and you die tonight, because of your sin, you would be in a place called hell for eternity. And I do not wish that on anybody. So tonight, if today were your last day, I would say, please accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Amen. That would be the most important thing tonight. But moving on with our message tonight. So if today were your last day or my last day, here's where I would like for us to take some time and think. Would you have any regrets? What really got me thinking on this was that I know everybody's heard my dad kind of scared us a few times since Christmas. But it really got me thinking about that on Christmas because Dad went from fine to not fine at all really fast. And I kept thinking, man, You know all the little things that dads do that aggravate you? I would love for my dad to have done it again. And that's literally what I prayed. I said, Lord, can you please let him live long enough to do this thing that aggravated me so I can just spend some more time with him? If today were my last day, would I have regrets? Unfortunately, I would say tonight I probably would. You know, we can look, and I'll just give a couple basic points to start us off. But, you know, a lot of people have relationships with family members, I would say, that aren't the best. So if today were your last day, would you like to fix that? Would you regret your relationship with maybe some family member? Start off easy points. Because those are easy for us to fix. Maybe, you know, we are people that have goals. Would there be some goal that you wish you would have achieved in your life? Well, let's get down to moms and dads, thinking about myself. If today were my last day as a dad, would I regret how I have raised my kids, or would I wish I had done something different with my kids? Over the past year, after our complicated pregnancy with Bella and whatnot, and then the miracle of her being born just fine, praise the Lord, I realized one thing, that I left off a lot of teaching of my boys spiritually. Because I got focused, right, on life and problems. And so if I had passed on, I would have regretted the little bit that my boys know about Scripture and about God. Because I am training my boys to grow up to serve the Lord. Now, I was telling my wife recently, she said something that is exactly right. I was saying that, man, our world is a mess, and I don't really want to keep bringing kids into this world because it's horrible and getting worse. And my wife said, which wives have really good insight most of the time, all the time, and sometimes we miss it. But she said, what better time to train up dragon slayers than when there are dragons? And that is true. What better time to have kids than right now when the world's messed up? Because we can teach them the truth of God's word. We can teach them how to fight the devil and sin and live for God. And they can go out and do it. Do I mean that I want my kids to be a pastor or a missionary? Not really. If that's what God wants them to do, yes. Am I going to make them? No. But I want them to be the best church member wherever they go to church. I want them to be the best worker wherever they work. I want them to live a clean and pure life before God. And I want them to shine God's light to this dark world. That does not happen by chance. It takes a lot of work. So as a dad, today were my last day. Am I happy with the state of my kids? They're only 5 and 3. My boys, okay, my daughter still, she says bye. That's about it right now. Would I regret what I haven't taught them yet? Yes, I would. I would. But I can change that right now. If today were my last day, would I regret the example I've set for my kids? You know why I say that? Because a lot of times we don't live what we preach. I'm a pastor and I do that, unfortunately. You know, boys, you're not supposed to get mad. And then all of a sudden I blow up at them. Well, I'm not living what I'm preaching. Well, that's a small thing. No, it's not. They're looking at you and they're saying, that's not real. Why would I obey Dad when he doesn't even obey God? That's the truth. That's what your kids are learning. I don't want to raise my kids that way. I want to raise my kids so that they'll make a difference in this country or whatever country they're in. Amen? Because they are the future of not only our countries, but definitely of our churches. Amen? They are the future. What kind of example are we giving to our kids to follow? Fathers, how have we led our homes? Have we led them as God would have us lead them? We have a great responsibility before God, not only to our kids, but to our wives as well. Our wives spend a lot of time with our kids, right? So we should strengthen our wives in the Lord so that they can then pass that on to our kids. Amen? It is our responsibility as dads to lead our families in God's word. Amen? You can't get to the end of your life and say, well, you know, it just didn't happen. You know, the church didn't teach them. But it's not the church's responsibility to teach our families. My kids will come to Sunday school and they will sit there and they will learn. But they should already know all of that at home. Amen? That's the truth. I should be teaching my kids. I should be raising them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So, if today were our last day as a father, would I have some regrets? Probably would. But I can change that tonight. Amen? Moving on from mom and dads. I mean, we could stay here a long time, and but we won't. So, moving on to kids, teenagers, young adults, those that don't have families yet. Here's a problem that I had in my life. I was raised in a missionary family, raised on the mission field. My dad's a pastor, right? You would think I had the correct attitude. I did not, unfortunately. But as a young kid and a teenager, I always thought that one day I would serve the Lord, right? That, you know, right now I can goof off and do whatever I want because when I turned 18, it's the magical age where I just start serving the Lord. Wrong, because I have no idea if I'm going to live to 18. My chance to serve the Lord could be right now only. And that's something I ended up understanding still in my teenage years when God finally got a hold of my heart. But it took me a little while. And it was a lot of fighting between me and God and a lot of unrest in my life. A lot of doubts during that time because when you're not in agreement with the Lord, you don't have a lot of peace in your life. When you're telling the Lord no. God called me to be a missionary, and I said no for 3 years. I didn't want to be a missionary. That was the last thing on my list of wanting to do things. But you know, God's right, and I was wrong. And when I finally said, Lord, that's great. I will do that. My peace with the Lord got a lot better, and I got busy serving the Lord finally. So, would you regret, young person, would you regret your testimony? You know, it's something my dad always used to say, your testimony is something that takes a lifetime to build. In a moment to wash it away, to ruin it. And that is true, and you can do that as a teenager. What do your friends think about you? You know, you can't say, oh, it's because of my parents. No. It's your choice to live for God or not. I've met many teenagers, and actually, I would say that I have met solid teenagers with parents that don't serve the Lord at all, and they're just out in the world drinking, doing everything wrong, and those teenagers were more solid than teenagers that had parents that served the Lord, unfortunately. And you know why that is, I believe? Because they made a choice themselves to serve the Lord. They weren't saying, well, my parents say I have to. Well, Madison says this standard. No, whatever standard, whatever belief they had was their own because they got in God's Word. They studied God's Word and they put it in practice in their lives. Now, it doesn't matter if they're 10, 9, 8, 12, whatever age. Any age should be studying God's Word. Amen? And it should be your standard for your life, your conviction. For many years, I lived the same way. I did exactly what my dad said because it was my dad's rules. I was under my dad's authority. You know, all of a sudden I came to college and I lived with pastor, praise the Lord. But I did have opportunities to not do those things anymore. You know what I had to do? I had to pick up my Bible and say, well, what in the world do I believe? What do I think about drinking? What do I think about getting a tattoo? That was a cool thing to do back then. What do I think about doing drugs? Everybody's doing it. Unfortunately, a lot of people are doing it. You know what was sad to me? Hearing people talk while I was in Brazil, people I know here in the States, they were saying, oh, so-and-so, that we used to go to that church, they're good Christians. And they smoke marijuana, but they're good Christians. I'm thinking, how can you put those two things together? Anyway, I'll get off of that. But what are your beliefs? What do you believe? It does you no good to just follow, it does you little good to follow the rules just because somebody told you need to. It does you a lot more good to find out what the Bible says about those and take it for yourself as your own standard, your own rule, and your own conviction in your life. I know this, when I finally did give my life to the Lord, I did regret not having, during those years that I did it, I did regret not having given 100% to the Lord during my teenage years that I was off doing what I wanted to do. Now, I never went off into the world. You can be plenty sinful right here. You can be plenty out of God's world, God's will, sitting in Madison Baptist Church. And that was me. I was the quiet one, the one that did everything, but I was as far away from God as you can get. I would have regretted not serving the Lord 100%. One thing that I love Madison Baptist Church. Y'all have a special place in my heart, being such an important part in all of my life from a child. Really, I don't really know any other church. That's the truth. God has just given me a good church to grow up in. My biggest fear for Madison is that while I'm away, y'all become complacent and stop having the vision of serving God and winning Madison, Alabama to the Lord. And when I come back, y'all will have changed. And please don't think that that will never happen. That's really close to happening to any church. What I hated most about coming back with my parents on furlough was visiting churches that when we left, they were all on fire for the Lord. Praise the Lord, Brother Nichols, go get the lost. And we get there on Wednesday evening and they're doing pie and praise in the gym in overalls and cut off shirts. What happened? Well, they lost their love for the Lord. They lost their zeal for serving the Lord, for winning souls. And Madison Baptist Church is always just a step away from doing the same thing. Because we get caught up in things, don't we? We get focused on other things. We have problems. And so I'm the first one to admit. I already admitted tonight that I didn't teach my kids enough this last year. I need to get back on it. Because we get caught up in different things. So as a church, and I know this is kind of weird to put it that way, because I said today is my last day. But as a church, if today were our last day as a church, would we have regrets? God has given us a very good church, but are we all God wants us to be? Are we winning our own mission field for the Lord? I haven't been on bus, but I know my time here at Madison. I got here in 2008. I'm not sure when I joined the bus, probably 2009. And then I probably worked bus until 2014, 2015. I would say during that time, it was the same bus workers, just about, give or take. That's the truth. And I don't know today. I mean, we're years later. But I would venture to say it's probably just about the same amount, same people doing the bus ministry. My question is, why? Why do we not have more people wanting to help the kids? Amen? God can win some of those kids and do something amazing in their lives. Amen? But I think a lot of times we forget. We forget because we come here Sunday morning, and we're sitting in here and they're out there. And we never have any contact. We never know they're there until maybe VBS. But you know, those kids could use some people loving on them. They could use some people telling them that Jesus loves them. I challenge you to go out Saturday and visit their homes and see how messed up they are. And then you understand why they come here and they act like hooligans, because they're being just a little bit of what their family is at home. But if we lose our desire to win those kids, then why are we here? It's by God's grace that I wasn't one of those kids. If my dad had not said, yes, Lord, I'll go to Brazil, I believe wholeheartedly, with how crazy I was as a kid, I'd be in prison or dead today, because I would probably not have been saved. What we do, every choice we make, affects so many people around us. In Madison Baptist Church, we have a ministry that needs people working it, that needs people loving those kids, because it is a ministry of Madison Baptist Church, and we do believe in it. And every once in a while, we see some fruit from it. You say, well, look at the expenditures. Who cares? Right. Amen. What price are you going to put on one soul? Good. If today were our last day, would we have regrets as a church? I like to challenge the church.